man, I'm worn out.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and happy Halloween. Welcoming you to the third hour of our Halloween edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us, your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the streams, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen in the upper left, and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Check out all the great stories and videos and pictures and occasional alert you need to know about on Facebook. And gosh, we are beginning my teaching shows today. I don't know how long it's going to take get through all these shows, but we are in the process now. And Walter Stoffel is my guest and will be joining me for these teaching shows. He is the author of the incredible book, Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And I should say, Walter, your book is available usual sources, Amazon, all that sort of thing?
Amazon, or there's another site that I'm particularly fond of, WalterStoffelAuthor.com.
WalterStoffelAuthor.com.
Yes.
And we can get Lance's story from you.
Yes, and if people are interested, I have an audiobook version also, if they just want to email me or contact me.
And it is a phenomenal story. If you it's a love story. You know, there had to be a lot of love involved here and dedication for Walter and his wife Clara to put up with Lance and to commit to him the way that they did. But a phenomenal story to read. And if you do read the book, then these teaching shows will mean a lot more to you, because we're going to specifically talk about, in the course of all this teaching, how we these days can help a dog like Lance, and that you don't have to leave them in their misery, anxiety, discomfort, and all of that forever, because we do have answers now. All righty, we had a wonderful time on the love train. David Brown, thank you so much, and he did a great job. He even got into some chair dancing with us, Walter, and he created a kind of really spooky sort of thing, because we had David on the screen with the lasers behind him that Nathan does, but then somehow these two figured out how to, with David's in front, the lasers behind, and then somehow Nathan was able to pop into the picture, so his little head would be dancing around, and I saw Nathan dance, really, for the first time I've ever really seen him dance.
Dancing out of the chair, I was the ghost of Halloween dance.
That's what it was, the ghost of Halloween dance. It was popping in, and I'm hoping we can have you back next week, even though you won't be here. That was so fun. Anyway, it was really cool. It was very Halloween-y.
I'll just have to hop into the Zoom meeting from Ohio or something like that.
Oh, yeah. God, that would really surprise me. Woohoo!
I got the link.
Yeah, that you do. You do. But anyway, we had a pretty good first love train with David here. So I'd say you initiated, buddy. So we'll be good next week.
That's what it's about, spreading the love, and everybody else should do the same.
All right. So we're going to test you on one other thing. I don't know if Nathan told you about this, but I do current events every week. So I'm not going to spend hardly any time. There's a couple of things to mention, but let's practice for next week so you know how to do it. And we'll see if Nathan prepared the way. It's time for current events. Hey, it worked! Woo! Okie dokie, speaking of entertainment, what do we got going here? Now, first thing I'm going to tell you is for all the details, go to the Animal World website, and that is Martha Norwalk. MarthaNorwalk.com. MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on current events, the left-hand side. That'll take you to the list of everything. Just know Northwest Dream Center is doing their holiday trees again this year. So 40, 60, or $100 level, different kinds of wild trees, spruce and cedar and that kind of thing. And we'll be throughout the month of December. You can go to the Northwest Dream Center, buy your live trees. You get to enjoy them during the holidays. You get a year's membership in the Northwest Dream Center, 10% discount at the nature store. And then after Christmas, you have the option of bringing them back. Now, you can plant them in your own yard if you want to, but you can bring back and then they get planted next to streams to help salmon and that sort of thing. So that will be throughout the month of December. Positive Alliance has got some great fundraising events going throughout November, an animal-themed trivia Zoom on November 5th, online auction November 5th through the 14th, and then wine at Northwest Cellars in Kirkland with the hashtag Why Not Me Pets custom label. So that's for Positive Alliance. And then the last good news here is Meow's 2022 calendars are available. So you can stop by the Meow shelter on Saturday or Sunday between 1 and 5 p.m. They're open both Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5, for adoptions and checking out the kitties. But you can also get a Meow calendar for $10. And my friends, kitties, Runyon and Franklin, you know, the really obese kitties, one kitty is really obese, they made the calendar. So you can stop by, $10, you can get a calendar at Meow, or for $12, they'll mail it to you. Alrighty, and then next week is the first Sunday of November already, and it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. So that wraps us up for current events. We are going to get back to our teaching work here now. So we finished out the last hour, Walter, and we were kind of compiling our list of getting different breeds on the list, and then the different types of behavior issues and questions that are on folks' mind and that we want to address throughout this series. So we got a good list with all of that. We can add to that as we go. Interesting how, when we talked about this and the people that contacted you, Walter, I mean, it kind of makes sense that most of the dogs we're talking about are herding breeds, you know, Aussies or Border Collies. But maybe that's because you're attracting those type of folks because of the book, Lance, you know, who's about a Border Collie. I will tell you that when I'm doing private sessions, herding breeds is a big percentage of what I see. And it's probably out of the herding breeds that I get the most extreme behavior in with aggression and that kind of stuff. I also see a lot of pit bulls and pit mixes, one of the most common dogs in rescues these days. The biggest group of dogs I see are mixed breed rescues, mostly off the streets in Texas and Mexico these days. And then I'm seeing more and more French bulldogs. So I'm seeing a lot of Frenchies. This falls into your category, Walter. I see lots of Chihuahuas and Chiweenies. Those are dachshund Chihuahua mixes, Chiweenies, yep. and hound mix, you know, the doxies and that kind of stuff. All right. So now, once we go through the list, that kind of completes my interview process in a private session. You know, so now I know the food and we've done the medical history with the dogs and then the exercise, what's going on there. And then we go through all the list of problems. Then the teaching begins. Now, I have my clients record the audio version of the session on their phones. And I also have them take notes while we're working. Most of the time, and remember, I see my clients once, and the normal session I spend on that one time when I see my clients, the normal session is 4 to 6 hours. But you know what? It goes by like that. It has gone so fast. kind of like these shows. You know, they're just it goes really fast, but that's it's a long time. And so and I also repeat to them that, you know, nothing I teach is difficult or complicated. But because I figured out how to do this all in one session, there's a whole lot of information. And I break all the rules as to what brains can absorb new at one time. So my clients need to be able to go back and review their notes and listen to the recording. Now, but the other thing that I do when I do a private session like this, I give my clients a pretty wonderful gift, and I give my clients free phone follow-up privileges. So they say, I don't want them to think I'm just there to take their money and run. I want them to be successful with their dogs. And once I've met them and their dogs and I know where they live, I can pretty easily coach them through these things over the phone, because after all, I've been doing talk radio for, you know, going on 30 years now. So I can coach you through. So it's like having Aunt Martha in your back pocket. That helps them relax knowing that they don't have to pay me every time they talk to me and all of that. And then I'll talk to them as much as necessary after I've seen them to tweak or adjust what's going on. Now, honestly, the reason I can do that is because this method and this the sequence that I go through is pretty darn effective, and rarely is phone follow-up needed. You know, I go in, I get things solved, I get people educated, and we're done. I don't hear from my clients again until they get another dog or send me a referral. But every once in a while, we get a Lance that requires more follow-up and close contact with me for a while after the session. Now, that's rare, but when it happens, I do that. And so that's part of the package. All right. So now then, when the session begins, and I told you, I set it up this way for a very specific reason. And sometimes, So what I got to tell you is that we're not going to get to the specifics and the really good stuff that everybody wants. What do you do about these problems? Those come towards the end, because I got to set the groundwork and get your basic education taken care of first, so you have all the components. At the same time, I'm getting to know the people, I'm getting to know the dog, and I'm figuring out what works and what doesn't and where we're going to go. And I've got my, you know, intuitive information coming through. And we then put it all together in the session. So what right now and what we're going to do is start the general areas of education. Once we get through the general areas of education, then we will come back to our specific list of problems, and we'll deal with every one of them and how you address and all the options in addressing these problems. But we need the other components first. So does that make sense to you, Walter?
Yes, it does.
And Nathan, and we're all good with that? Okay. So where are we time-wise? Well, look at that. It's we do have to stay on time this hour, so because David and Nathan will kick us off the air, Walter, if we're not done at noon. So let's go ahead and take care of advertisers. For the first time in this hour, once we do that, then we will get back with the general discussion, or, you know, the first general subject, and that's all about dogs. The general dog, what do you need to know about dogs in general to have this all work for you? That's next. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. Happy Halloween, and thanks for spending your Halloween morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Linda Rasmussen, our wonderful bioenergetic synchronization technique practitioner, energy code practitioner, and she works out of the Intraspace facility at the old Rainier Brewery here, and you can check her out at verticalenergyworldwide.com. verticalenergyworldwide.com. And as you heard Nathan tell you, Linda, it does offer a free introductory session for anybody that asks. So all you got to do is call or text her at the number I'm going to give you and say, hey, heard Martha talking about you and would like a free session. And she can do it in person or remotely, your choice. And all you got to do is give Linda a call, 206-841-1992. All righty then. We are going to get back. Walter Stoffel is here. He is the author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And I'm simulating and do it in your home session like I do. And we are beginning that process. We've been through the interview process now and have our list of problems and everything going on. We're now going to start the general education. So Walter and Nathan, where I start with my clients is I always start with, you know, I don't believe we've ever really given dogs credit for who they really are. Okay. I believe they have soul vibrations just like we do. I believe they think and reason. They have feelings and emotions. They have personalities and personality quirks and glitches. And they can be every bit as individual as we humans can be.
And we have to do our research, too, when we're thinking of the dogs, because every dog is bred, like you're saying, they're breeds for a specific purpose.
We'll get to that. We aren't there yet.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But so in one picture, dogs aren't that much different than we are. Okay. But in the bigger, truer picture, there's one huge difference that makes all the difference in the world. And that is that dogs are the fact that dogs come in a dog body, you know, so they're in a dog suit as opposed to a cat suit, or a horse suit, or a chicken suit, or a human suit. There's different genetic DNA coding that comes along with the physical body that you're inside. That's what you need to understand to be successful living with dogs. You need to have to know how the dog body works. So bottom line, most of us know the basics about dogs, that they're pack animals. So they stay with their family and their group, that they're territorial, they stay on their territory. And in most cases, anybody outside of the pack or the territory is considered a threat and warded off. All right. So that in and of itself should let us know as humans, dogs aren't intended to be as social as we humans are. doesn't, that's not how it works in their world. They stay with their family and their pack. That's it. They don't go out and visit and make friends and invite the, you know, neighbors over for tea. They stay with their packs. So we as humans then need to raise our dogs and teach them that they need to be more social living with humans. Now, some dogs, you get an exception, and they are social butterflies, and like everybody, humans and animals, and get along with everybody and everything. Now, my Robbie Golden Retriever is like that. He is a true social butterfly. Some of that is because I knew what I was doing when I was raising him, and I socialized him very well and introduced him to everything. And some of it is just his wonderful personality. There are some specific breeds of dogs that tend to be friendlier than others, and there are exceptions all the way around. But just kind of know, bottom line is, in a lot of cases, we have to teach dogs how to be more social. All right. Now, then most people also understand the fact that in the dog world, there's a leader of the pack and then a pecking order underneath that leader. Now, people also kind of understand that when dogs live with humans, the idea is for the people to be the leaders and in charge and the dogs to be the followers. But I got to tell you that in my experience, the vast majority of people don't know how to pull this off without being cruel or abusive. And so they don't establish leadership. And in the vast majority of cases, when I go in, especially with older dogs, the dogs don't have a clue that their people are in charge and they're really spoiled. Well, when they don't think you're in charge and they're spoiled, they think they're in charge. And so you don't have the right to tell them what to do and all of that sort of thing. So this basic premise is causing a lot of problems right now in the world of dog training and behavior therapy. And what you need to know, I'm deviating a little bit here, but I just want to let you know, I started in the old school of dog training and then have been on a pendulum kind of swing since then, and moving forward. And I'm partly responsible for moving the dog training world in our area anyway, more forward into more positive forms of training and teaching and taking into the intelligence of the dogs and all of that. And I helped spearhead all of that. But I'll tell you right now, in the world of dog training behavior therapy, the pendulum has swung way from the old school. It's swung all the way to the other side, to the new school. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think there's just as many problems in the new school, which is the all positive stuff, clicker training type stuff, all positive stuff, as there was in the old school. And the problem is the same thing. Not giving dogs credit for who they really are and that they are intelligent and that they think and reason, that they're great communicators when we know how to communicate, and that they come in dog suits. So you have to understand that. Now, there's a big push in that new world of dog training and the all positive stuff. They all want to bury the pack theory stuff. Oh, the leader of the pack, and pack, they're not important. We don't want anything negative in our dog's life. You don't want to tell them that they're bad or they're wrong or correct. We want to do it all positive, and life should be wonderful and happy, and there should be never anything negative, and we don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart. Well, that looks great on paper. Does not work, because you're going against the grain. The fact of the matter is, just... life is not fair in the dog world. It's all based on pecking order. And your rights in the pack are based on where you fit in the pecking order. So in order to be able to control behavior, to extinguish behavior, to replace with new behavior, you have to be the leader. The dog has to respect your leadership and look to you for direction. Well, that's something you can't just tell them that's the way it is. You have to show them by example. And what I'm telling you is, this new world of all positive dog training is doing their best to bury the pack theory. And that, in my opinion, is a huge mistake, and is why we have a lot of dogs full of anxiety these days because that's the only kind of training they're getting. Now, just to give you an example of that, since we are a lot of herding dogs on our list, a cattle dog is popping into my mind, was a rescue in Seattle, in the city, was volatilely aggressive on the leash, would go after anything, humans, dogs, kids, crows, squirrels. And this dog, cattle dogs, when they're aggressive, are fiercely defensively aggressive and bark like banshees and look very vicious. Well, by the time they called me, this dog was so out of control that they were afraid to take the dog anywhere out for a walk. They had to walk really early in the morning, really late at night to avoid everybody in the neighborhood. And they were getting threatened, anonymous threats from the neighborhood, and they were afraid someone was going to kill their dog. Okay. Now, they also had spent the whole time they'd had this dog, which was like 10 to 12 months that they, since they'd rescued the dog, they had spent thousands of dollars at a local training organization going for training. But you know what? In that 10 to 12 months and thousands of dollars, they'd never even let the dog into the building because it was that aggressive. Well, They were afraid someone was going to kill them or their dogs, so they found me. I went to see them on did a session on a Saturday. It was, you know, a 4 to 6 hour session. Did all the, you know, I broke through and took the bark immediately before I even entered the house. And what I tell my clients with that, you know, getting that bark under control when I first come in. And so that's going to be a major focus for you. If you have a dog that's got lots of problems, we deal with the barking first, because if you take the bark, you take the power. So this all goes back to this pecking order and the pack theory. And with the new age of dog training trying to extinguish the pack theory, you're throwing out the most important part of understanding dogs. And life is not fair in the dog world. It's raising dogs is like raising kids. They not only need to know what's right, they need to know what's wrong. They're not stupid. They can handle it. Okay. And that is what gets you where you need to go. So just because you don't like something, you don't want to do it, doesn't mean you can just say it doesn't exist and make it go away. Dogs are pack animals. Now, there are a few breeds that genetically have been a little messed with over time. And so they're a little different and don't kind of follow the same rules. There's a few breeds that are more cat-like than dog-like. The one that's popping in as one of the most obvious would be the Basenji. They're more cat-like than dog-like. So I usually get some cat things out to, you know, to work with a Basenji successfully.
I can tell you right now, Abby is very cat-like.
Abby?
Yeah.
Well, that very well may be. So at any rate, you can't dismiss the pack theory and just say it doesn't exist because you don't want it to exist. Now, there are sometimes people luck out with a dog and they get a really easy dog. It's like sometimes we get a vacation lifetime. All of these things don't apply. And again, remember that through all of this information, I'm talking to you in generalities, and there are always exceptions. There are no absolutes, and what works in one situation may not work in another. There's always more than one way to address things. But first and foremost, the first job I do in a session with clients is teach them how to be good leaders for their dogs. When you have a dog that's full of anxiety and has all the issues that dogs have these days, and we are seeing far more levels of anxiety in our dogs than we've ever seen before. And a lot of that is because of the craziness in our lifetime, because they are affected by that, and the lockdowns and the changes in schedules and all of that. But bottom line, the best way to emotionally and psychologically stabilize dogs is to show your power and provide them with powerful leadership. That's the best way to emotionally and psychologically stabilize dogs, is to take the power. Because once they see your power and know that you're in charge, then they can relax. Oh, thank God. My people are really powerful. They can handle anything. They can even control me. I can just hang with them and do everything they tell me to do, and I'll be safe. So I can relax. That's what happened yesterday in the session. I got to peel them off the wall brand dog. Bang. I lower the boom, take charge. That dog says, oh, thank God. Lays down, goes to sleep. First time in his life that it's just sat, laid down and relaxed. Okay. The rest of the session, the dog was very well behaved, quiet, not bothering any. I mean, an absolutely miraculous change immediately. So dogs relax in the presence of powerful leadership. Now, you also need to know a good, competent leader dog is calm, cool, collected, and confident. They never overreact, and they never lose their temper. So how many times do you get frustrated with your dog and lose it and yell at your dog? Okay. Anytime you lose it in front of your dog, it may have to do with their behavior, or it might be your kids or something else. If you lose it in front of your dog, you show them in a classic example what an incompetent leader you are. So you have to learn to be that calm, cool, collected leader that doesn't overreact, that doesn't lose their temper. You remember to keep breathing, stay calm, and you have to teach dogs how to behave in our human world. They don't pop out of the womb knowing the rules and how to live with people. We have to teach them that. Some dogs are easier than others. Some breeds are easier than others. And there's exceptions to everything. But the one thing there is no exception to, you need to be that powerful leader. And whenever you're starting a relationship with a dog, be it a puppy or a rescue, the order of business is just show your power and then balance that power with the love and the spoiling. Balance is the key in the relationship. If you want to really love and spoil the socks off your dog, then you better figure out how to be a very powerful leader to balance that. Okay. Now, Walter, I can tell you one of the things, see, with Lance, you know, you didn't get him till he was very old. He'd lived a long life. I think you didn't get him till he was like 10. Right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. So he'd had a long history of horrendous abuse. But when you took him in, unfortunately, there wasn't anyone that you could work with at that time to teach you how to be a good leader for him and how to take charge. So that he didn't feel responsible anymore and could relax. Kind of the way you worked with, you just kind of did what worked with him and let him be who he was. And you just kind of channeled him and didn't try to control anything, because that was the best way to keep you and Clara safe and to not get bit, right?
As I kind of said, I don't think Lance adapted to us as much as we adapted to him.
Yep. And that's been the case for many years with these dogs that have this underlying endocrine immune imbalance. And we'll touch base on that when we get to the physical stuff. It is a huge thing that we need to cover. At any rate, so we know that leadership is first and foremost important, and the greater the degree of anxiety and problem behavior you have in your dog, the more important it is to establish that powerful leadership.
So would you equate that to like a tough love, or is it a little bit different or modified for the
It dog? Might be. It might not be. There's lots of ways to go about that. And that's kind of, you know, that will all shake out as we go through all this information. But you just need to know the bottom line. And then some general things about dogs. Dogs are creatures of habit, very ritualistic in nature. Their inner time clocks are so accurate. They're accurate to within 30 seconds and 24 hours, which is why when you're raising dogs and raising puppies, you want to do things on a schedule and feed them the same time every day. You know, go out for your walks at the same time. The more ritualistic you can be, the more they can anticipate and get with the program because they like to anticipate and do things before they're expected if they know what's going on. But if you stay with a regimented schedule, once you get the puppy trained, and say you're feeding every day at 5 o'clock, that dog's got an inner time clock in its stomach going off at 5 o'clock saying it's time for dinner, time for dinner, time for dinner. If that one time in a many you don't get home on time, you can't be there to feed them, that's when you get the frustration and you might get some hunger frustration and some destructive chewing or failing house training, that kind of stuff related to the fact that rituals aren't happening on time. So you raise your dog on a solid ritual to get the patterns going. Once you get them patterned, then you fluctuate those times. You don't feed every day at 5 o'clock, sometimes 4:30, sometimes 5:30, sometimes 4, sometimes 6. I say pick, you know, a 2 or 3 hour period where you throw the food in here or there so that they don't get honed in on an exact time. And that can make life a lot easier. Now, they also generalize, assume, and flashback. Their world is pretty simple. If it happened this way once, it'll always happen this way. So if they have a traumatic experience, if something starts to happen in their present time that reminds them of a previous situation, they may react according to what they thought they learned from that last situation in the current one. So we have to work with that. And now we understand more of what's happening in that generalizing, assuming, and flashing back. And it has to do with some of Nell's work and the nervous system getting stuck in freeze flight mechanisms. And we will talk about that further too. Now, dogs generalize and assume things. So they can have specific fear or generalized fear. And I'll tell you one story, and this is a border collie story. I was hired at once to go evaluate an aggressive seminar. An instructor was teaching a class on aggression for other obedience instructors. I was hired to come in and observe the class and evaluate the class, so I couldn't chime in. Well, after they did their teaching, then one of the instructors stood up to ask a question, and she said she was teaching a 4-H class of students and had about 20 kids in the class and 20 dogs. Then there was a situation going on she didn't understand. There was a border collie in the class, which is a very cool border collie and very smart. And the dog was very social and liked all the other breeds in the class, except the 5 golden retrievers. And the trainer said, one of these golden retrievers even looks at this border collie, the border collie fires up and is going to attack the golden retrievers. And the instructor said, I don't get that, because the dog was raised by a golden retriever. His big brother is a golden retriever and he loves his big brother. Why is this dog only attacking every other golden retriever in the room? All right, well, this is a very important lesson. What's going on with that dog is that the dog really temperamentally was very stable. And he didn't have any experience with any of the other breeds in the room, so he assumed they're okay. But with a golden retriever, now golden retriever generally is bigger than a border collie, and the golden retriever raised this border collie, and they roughhoused and play fight all the time. So the golden retriever's beating up on his younger border collie brother all the time. So what the border collie does with that is a generalized assumption. All right, all of these other dogs, I don't know them, and I've always gotten along fine with them, but golden retrievers beat you up. And I love my big brother. It's okay with him, but I'm not letting any of these other golden retrievers get close enough to me to beat me up like my brother does. So that's why the dog was defensively aggressive only with the goldens, because he was assuming they'd all treat him the way his big brother does. Now, this can generalize when you're raising puppy, or you know, you got a dog, and maybe the kids or the husband roughhouse and play fight with the dog. And you roughhouse and play, but the dog loves it and everybody gets along. Well, that can cause problems, because when other kids come over or other men come over, the dog can say, oh, those kids, they're going to treat me just like my kids do, or that man is going to roughhouse with me just like my dad does. I don't want them to do that. I'm not going to let them get close to me. So the dogs will be defensively aggressive with other kids or that other men because of the way their familiars treat them. Does that make sense to you, Walter?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So you got to keep that in mind. So when we're raising puppies, there's good games and bad games. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend, you know, good games are retrieve games, hide and go seek games, trick training, that kind of stuff. Young dogs, aggressive dogs, no tug of war, no roughhousing, no play fighting. You're pitting yourself against the dog in a play fight situation. And it doesn't work with dogs any better than it does with kids to say, do as I say, not as I do. All right, we're going to time out briefly here, take care of our advertisers for the last time in the show before we run out of time. And then we'll come back and hopefully finish up the general dog information before we'll wrap up our first session. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk. AM 1150.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try Alternative Talk 1150 and get some variety.
Hey y'all, I'm Arthur Norwalk, and we're winding down this Halloween edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Excuse me. We heard from Natasha Venter, our wonderful medium, communicator, personal awareness coach. You can check her out at angelicclarifications.com, angelicclarifications.com. She's available for private readings and custom classes. All you got to do is give her a call at 360-770-7486, 360-770-7486. All righty. We are finishing up this first teaching show with Walter Stoffel, the author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And Walter, we were talking about in the generalities of dogs, and I was talking about good games versus bad games, and I want to make sure and finish up on that. It's especially important with young dogs when they're learning behavior. You need to know with puppies, puppies play practice at what they're going to do seriously as adults. So I don't like roughhousing, play fighting games with any dogs, puppies or adults. I know you guys, it's one of your favorite games, but it just isn't appropriate to teach dogs it's okay to fight with people. Okay, so you got to find another entertainment. Tug of war, not good with puppies, because again, you don't want them to learn to fight with you when you're raising them. But once they're raised, then you can play tug of war. If there are any leadership issues, then you must always win. Most people play tug, then they're done. They let go of the toy and the dog runs off with the toy. Well, he notches his belt and says, I win. So you don't let them run off with the toy. You keep the toy, put it away or toss it out, and then don't re-engage with the tug, but make sure that you win. If you don't have aggressive problems or issues with your dog, then tug of war is just fine. The big things to remember here is you have to understand how dogs are genetically coded, and they're pack animals. They need a leader, powerful leadership to relax and calm down. And then that's what gives you the clout to teach them what they need to know and do all that good stuff. Now, depending on the breed of dog that you have, there can be breed specific tendencies that can help you predict or understand behavior. Mostly what we heard about, from Nathan and Walter and the list are herding breeds of dogs, the border collies, Australian shepherds. This would be the cattle dogs as well. And then corgis and so forth. Now what you need to know, dogs, can be really, really smart, or they can be really, really dumb. And so the dogs that cause all the problems are like the Einsteins and the Dumbos. The easy dogs are the middle of the roaders, not real smart, not real dumb, okay? But I'll tell you, I'd much rather work with an Einstein than a Dumbo. Einsteins learn real fast, 1 to 3 repetitions, and they got it. But then your patience is needed in following through, because they'll push and test. So a smart dog might come and start to jump on you on your left side, and you do them no off. You can't do that. They'll say, okay, can't jump on your left side. Maybe I can jump on your right side. Okay, that doesn't work. Then they come around, oh, maybe I can jump on you from the front. Okay, that doesn't work. Maybe I can jump on you from behind. Okay, that doesn't work either. All right, so I can't jump up on Martha, but I bet I can jump up on Walter. And I'll try that. No, can't jump up on. Well, okay, I can jump up on Nathan. So with a smart dog, their potential's phenomenal. You can teach them all kinds of stuff. They learn real fast. But your patience is needed in the follow through, because they'll push and test and try to find ways around. Now your dumb ones, your patience is needed when you're teaching. Because you work on something, you're teaching it all day long, and at night, the light bulb's starting to go on, you guys go to bed, you get up the next day, the light is totally off. And you're starting all over again, teaching them what they need to know, light's going on at night, you wake up the next day, it's totally off, you're starting all over. So a lot of patience in teaching. Eventually, when they get it, it's solid and they keep it, but the patience is needed in the teaching. So for me personally, I'd rather have a smart dog than a dumb one. So I love the herding breeds, and they're my favorite breeds to work with in a private session. Now, some breeds of dogs are bred to work with man and do jobs with men. Other breeds are bred to work independently of man. So if you want a dog that's easier to work with, that will bond stronger, you have a better, then you're looking at wanting to get those dogs that were bred to work with man. So sporting breeds, working breeds, herding breeds, those are generally the dogs that are most social and bond the best with their people. The ones that not so much would come out of the terrier and the hound type groups, because those dogs are bred to do jobs independently on their own. So they have more of an independent streak and are more likely to blow you off, are more likely to be able to put blinders on and not focus on anything other than what they're chasing or after. So you want to keep that in mind as well. And then depending on all the individual breeds, there can be breed characteristics that, you know, make behavior more predictable. And just to what's coming to mind here before we run out of town or run out of time, I told you I'm seeing a lot more Frenchies these days, French Bulldogs. They become very, very popular. And, you know, we see Stacy's dogs all the time and they're so cute. And that's probably part of the biggest problem. And they're so, I'm finding them extremely challenging to really solidly change behavior, especially if they're aggressive. So just so you know, so there's some specific reason we have some issues. That's all we have time for today. So we're going to conclude our first teaching story with, we got through the general area of general dogs. Now, when we pick this up, Walter, next time, we'll pick up where we left off, and where we're going to go into is food and how food affects behavior and all the physical things. So you'll start to understand what was going on with Lance. And then we got to feed our dogs anyway. So we might as well clean that up and not cause any problems there. Then we'll go into all the communication stuff. Then we'll get to the specific list. How soon we'll be able to do this? If we wait till the fourth Sunday of the month, there's not a five Sunday month until January. So it's possible, though, we'll see what the feedback is. And if I get motivated, I might decide we could do one, not take the last Sunday of November off, and we could do a show then. So hold that last Sunday of November if you have it open now, and we'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
All right. But Walter, thank you so much for being here and for being the sounding board. Now, you're going to play more of a role as we go, specifically when we get into specifics and I'm laying out specific treatments so that we'll have more of a back and forth. We've got to just get the general stuff out of the way. But I hope you enjoyed today, and I really appreciate you being with us.
Can I make a confession?
Sure.
I roughhouse with Heidi, so I guess I'm going to have to stop.
Well, you know, there are exceptions. So, you know, unless it's causing a generalized problem, it may not be an issue, but we could talk about that more. But yeah, not a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you guys. So we are just about out of here. Next week, shelter, rescue, sanctuary, anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check with all our regulars. I hope you can join me. It'll be me and David next week. So you have to check in and see if he's doing a good job, you know? All righty. And Walter, thank you. Nathan, thank you. David, thank you for coming in, and I'll see you next week. And as always, I leave you with, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I will talk to you again next week.